And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 351, your week 11 Fab preview coming your way. More injuries, more prospects, the usual it feels like in 2026. We'll get you that, some news, and much, much more. But before we get to that, some housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bluefield, how we doing, my friend?
We're doing good. We're back at full strength here at the house. So sipped on some Icelandic single malt last night to celebrate the occasion. Golf tomorrow, and then weekend fun. So I'm good. I'm good. Things are getting back to normal.
Yeah, you have a pep in your step when you got on the computer today. So that's a good thing.
Wouldn't go that far, but.
We're gonna go that far. I'm gonna take it too far. It's not gonna be a low stones, but we're gonna have some fun with this one.
loved how many people reacted to the low stones pronunciation of last show's listener questions. It was pretty cool to A, that you all get that far into the episode, but B, anytime we can poke fun at Bubba, we have to do it. Low stones, lost ones, if you are in the chat this evening, feel free to show yourself throughout the episode. What's up, JD? Doing very well in the listener league. How are we doing tonight? Looking forward to another good one. Should be a pretty good week of Fab. Pretty good week of Fab. There should be some fireworks this week.
I think it's going to pick up a bit from last week. Last week was a down week, rightfully so. And it's going to keep going down just because of resources available. But this one feels like we might have a little more activity because we got a pitcher returning that many are excited to talk about and a few other minor details that we will discuss shortly. But first, a couple of bits of news before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show. Kenley Jansen, he left his outing on Wednesday with a groin injury on Thursday, went to the IL. They didn't call it a groin strain. They called it pelvic inflammation. If it lasts more than 4 hours, probably see a doctor. But yeah, he's going to the IL. This is not going to probably be a minimal stint thing is what it feels like. At least that's what their early reports are saying. Problem is Detroit doesn't like to just nail down a closer more often than not. So I don't know where they're going to go with this one.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I know last year it was frustrating. The team Vest, team Kyle Finnegan, once they acquired Finnegan, kind of back and forth. I don't know what'll happen. The problem is like neither Finnegan nor Vest has shown themselves this year. Like Finnegan has, I think, more walks than strikeouts this season. And Will Vest has, I want to say, an ERA around 7 with slightly better skills than Finnegan. But again, that's not saying much. So I don't know. We will get 3 games to see if the other thing, Detroit is not playing pretty well. Pretty bad baseball right now. So, we talk about the size of the pie. How big is that? How big is that pie going to be? We don't know. If I had to guess, I guess Finnegan, who's had the better surface stats than Will Vest, but it's a very low confidence. And I am pretty confident it will be some type of mix and match. And also somewhat confident they could do more harm than good as well.
Yeah, Finnegan would be the angle I would look at. The other guy I would mention was Drew Anderson. He was a popular Fab target this past week. Yep. He's been used more in leverage. Like he's been an opener. He's gotten saves. He's a multi-inning guy. He's kind of all over the board. But he's kind of had their best quote-unquote stuff out of the bullpen. So AJ Hinch can get goofy with things. Like it could be 3 or 4 guys. I'm not going to say it's going to go full Minnesota Twins on us because you never want to go full Minnesota Twins. But it might get a little wild there in Detroit. All right, next bit of news here. T. Oscar Hernandez, he's going to be down and out for a while. You know it's bad when you leave a game with a hamstring injury, and right after the game, they already say you're on the IL before you even had imaging. They know it's that bad, and he knew it was that bad when he left the game. And they still haven't told us the grade of said hamstring injury, but all the reports say it's going to be an extended amount of time for T. Oscar Hernandez. They called up Ryan Ward. We'll see how the playing time shakes out. But thoughts on Teo? Like, I guess we won't know, obviously, by the end of the show on the duration, but we should find out this weekend, hopefully, on at least the grade level of the strain. How long does he have to be out for you to drop him?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, but you're the host, so you get to drive the ship and beat me to it. Because I will have to make this decision on Sunday. I think if it's I think if it's 2 months or more, he's gone.
Yeah.
Something like 2 months. Maybe depending on injuries in your team, 6 weeks might be that threshold. Teoscar's been fine. He's 276, 7 homers, 2 steals, good runs in RBIs. So that's tough to replace. So yeah, I would say roughly about 2 months. And then if he's out 2 months, then you get 2 more months of, I mean, that's half the remaining part of the season. So
yep.
I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, in a 15-team league, I could see being more patient.
Yes. Like
the stat line you read out in a 12-teamer, it's good, but it's nothing special, I guess, if that makes, like, the average is good, but 7 homers, 2 steals, like, you could kind of stream that off and on throughout a season if you do it right. The average would be the tough part with Teoscar Hernandez. So, yeah, I would definitely wait. In a 12, I'm thinking if it's 6 weeks for sure, he's gone. 4 weeks. You have a discussion on your hands based on what your team is looking like in a 12-team league. Like, you got to start making the tough decisions now, and that's what sucks, but that's just the reality of the situation. And, he's leaning towards a potential drop, I feel like, just by the nature of the verbiage coming out of Los Angeles on this injury. Yeah. It does not sound great at all. Yeah. So
no, that's fair. The 2 months is more my 15-team brand. Yeah. That'd be more aggressive.
And I agree with it in 15s for sure. The weird part is maybe they'll change their mind if they find out it's a longer injury. Maybe this is just temporary with Ryan Ward. I feel like if I'm the Dodgers, and again, you know, the Dodgers always make great decisions, but they win championships, so whatever they want to do. You got James Tibbs down there, who's an absolute monster. He's not on the 40-man, though, so I think it has to be a longer-term deal. They put him on the 40-man and bring him up. That would be the move. If the Dodgers call him up, I would be really worried about Teoscar, is my point. So
okay,
keep an eye on that situation.
Okay.
Last bit of news, and we don't have any information. I just wanted to bring it up for people to keep an eye on over the weekend. Casey Mize and Yuri Perez left their starts on Wednesday with groin injuries. Casey Mize was playing catch before Thursday's game, so they're thinking that's hopefully a minor deal. They're still waiting for the imaging on his. I'm not sure why imaging takes this long in the year 2026, but here we are. Yuri Perez, on the other hand, they asked him straight up after the game, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are your concern levels? He said 7. He was like, this isn't good. Like, he knew something was wrong. So they're still waiting on that one.
See, Mize one was – go ahead.
No, Mize seems major or minor. We'll see. The Marlins had the day off today, so they get a little passage on this one for the news. But the Tigers are still waiting on that. So we'll find out over the weekend on those two. I'd imagine both hit the IL.
Yeah, I hope Mize doesn't. But he had leg issues earlier and missed time.
He was on the IL with a groin injury earlier.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't – yeah. So it's the recurrence is not great. It was also not great that Casey Mize was going 4 scoreless. I think 6 Ks, 2 hits, was one inning away from a win, and
looking good.
Yuri Perez. Yeah. We'll see. A 7 out of 10 from the horse's mouth. Doesn't sound great. Only bit of possible good news is we may be one step closer to Mookie Blaylock. We'll see.
Yes. If you guys thought the low stones was good, wait till Mookie gets the call. That's when we really shine on this show. Yeah. So,
if Yuri's out for a while, do you think the Marlins bring Braxton Garrett back up, or do they go with some other option like Bradley Blaylock?
I would like to say they'd bring Garrett back up, but I don't think they will, because I think they sent him down to work on things. Otherwise, they would have left him up there in the bigs. Like, there was no need to take him down. If you're going to bring him back this quick, you should have just left him up. But again, the Marlins have done really weird things with their pitchers before. I think if it's a long-term deal, you might see Blaylock for a little bit, and then you get it. Like, Paul in the chat and many others have been clamoring for Thomas White.
Thomas White, yeah.
That's an option as well. But, Thomas White. Let's do a check.
He's pitched well at AAA. It's only been 18 innings, so he's made 3 or 4 starts at AAA. But 20% K to walk will certainly play. 21 years old, so a little young. And again, he's only pitched 9 innings at AAA last season and 18 this season. So there isn't much. It would be basically Thomas White going from AA up to the majors. And while the ceiling is high, certainly higher than Mookie Blaylock, Do the Marlins have him make that jump?
Yeah, and the thing with White, I just pulled up his game logs. He's gone 4 2/3 once. It's all been 4 innings, or like 2 inning starts. It's been 15 runs, 11 earned, and 24 and two thirds, 15 walks, 35 Ks. It's a lot of Braxton Garrett in those game logs right there. So time will tell, obviously, with the Marlins, but we'll keep an eye on it. Yuri didn't seem optimistic on his situation.
Yeah, Ryan Gusto is another option. We've been down that path before, so I don't know. Yeah, we'll
give him the gusto. All right, we'll wrap it up there, though. We got a lot to cover here, team by team, as usual, Ryan. So let's get into it. What are the schedule highlights for our Week 11 Fab?
A lot of six-game weeks for most teams. So most teams getting an off day this week. The Royals and Twins get seven games. They will play each other next weekend, a four-game set. So they get seven. The Brewers, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and your Giants get seven games. But that's it. Everyone else is at six. Our Sacramento Athletics are not in Sacramento for the week. So it's an on again, off again. The A's are on the road at the Cubs, Houston next week. Colorado is split. Colorado goes to Anaheim for three before the following weekend hosting Milwaukee. And the Reds are split as well, hosting Kansas City for three at Great American.
Yeah, Great American Small Park to start the week.
For stands out. Obviously, we'll go through all 30 teams here, but that's the general lay of the land for the schedule next week.
Yep, a lot of Sixers, which is not ideal because we're on a Thursday night right now, and there's no games going on. So that means we'll probably have similarities next week in that one.
Yeah,
not great, but college softball's in the 10th. We got a doozy going here. All right, let's kick it off. Baltimore Orioles, they start with six on the road, Ryan, three at Boston, three at Toronto, two lefties and four righties for the Baltimore Orioles. This is a team that's, I got nothing when it comes to the hitting with the Orioles.
Yeah, not really. I mean, these are deep league ones, but Leody Taveras continues to play every day and hit low ceiling, but he's the everyday center fielder. And then who the hell else was I going to bring up? Blaze Alexander's playing every day.
Yes, he is.
Kind of everywhere and hitting well lately. Again, more 15 team type deal. Play these guys while they're hot and playing, but wouldn't bid even modest amounts. These guys would be pretty low on the waterfall.
Yeah, Blaze is probably a dollar play. I like where your head's at. I'm just saying he's probably a buck for those out there. Like the one I wish, if you can stash, and it's a just shoot for the moon type stash, and it could be a complete waste of a dollar. Colton Cowser is actually swinging it really well. They're just not playing him versus lefties. They do get four righties next week. But his skill set has improved drastically. And there's some side-by-side videos of him working on his stance. And since he's adjusted things, he's been a much better hitter at the plate. They're just not playing him. So it has to be the right week. This is close to the right week is what I would say. But still not perfect with Colton Cowser if you want to get a little weird out there. All right. Pitching. Again, I got a whole lot of nothing here.
Whole lot of nothing, and the most concerning whole lot of nothing is still, I think I've said this last 2 weeks, but I still have not seen anything on Ryan Helsley.
I was going to bring that up. I saw a brief thing. I didn't put it in the news because it was kind of a joke to me, but he was playing catch in the outfield in like late last week.
Which is not great, right? I mean,
he's still like, that's how he's ramping up right now. He still seems like he's a minimum 2 to 3 weeks away. You never know. We can get surprised and be like, oh, he's going into his rehab assignment out of nowhere, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. So pretty rough stuff there. All right. Yeah. Boston Red Sox. They have six games this week, three at home versus Baltimore, three at the New York Yankees, two lefties and four righties for the Boston Red Sox, Ryan.
I have nothing on the Red Sox.
No, they are pretty much business as usual. IKF had a monster game the other day. I was like, oh, he still plays. That's funny. Like, I haven't heard his name all season. But, I'm with you. Nothing there, and I really don't have anything on the pitching either.
Pitching's been, for nothing else, stable. They've had the same five guys, not including Bayo. But, yeah, they've had the same five guys there. Aroldis Chapman's doing his thing in the bullpen. This is one of those teams, Boston, that there hasn't been much movement on.
I will say I'm not going to give away your speculator article this week, but I was eating my sandwich today, reading your article on my phone, and your comments on Sonny Gray I do not appreciate. I don't disagree with,
Thank you.
Appreciate it. It was a rough one to swallow. Rough pill to swallow.
He's been bad. But again, you know the cover boy of that article was? Shane Boz. The day he shoved.
Great his last two starts. Both versus the Rays, though. Like, they're both against the Rays.
On my bench. Or on the waiver wire.
Hey, the Rays are good.
Yeah. Weirdly, he gets it done. New York Yankees, they have six games this week, all in the Bronx. Three versus Cleveland, three versus Boston, three lefties, three righties, which obviously limits things.
Obviously limits things. You don't like that split. I think the biggest kind of playing time thing is what's happened with Jose Caballero versus Anthony Volpe.
Yes, and indeed.
It turns out it's not really a versus, it seems like. Volpe started the last three games, both lefties and righties in there at shortstop, and Caballero has been shortstop, third base, left field, and that kind of seems like the plan going forward. I'm still skeptical on how good Anthony Volpe is going to be, but seems like they're going to make it work with both, with Volpe being shortstop and Caballero just kind of filling in around the edges.
And right now, like, Volpe's 20% rostered in 12s. Like, he needs to be more than that. He's .257, homer, two steals.
Yeah.
Like,
he's played better in the majors than he has in the minors.
And he's a guy I remember talking about, like, in the preseason. I know the batting average is frustrating, but you look, like, at his skill set, he kind of underachieved a lot last year, which is weirdly enough. And he threw that injury, and the power was still very much there. And then we know the speed's there with Volpe. And I'd roll with it as long as he's getting at-bats right now. So that would be a guy I'd look to target.
Yep. The other one, I again, everyone's going to laugh at me, but Paul Goldschmidt is the everyday first baseman right now. Ben Race is seemingly the everyday DH. I don't see that changing until Stanton, Dominguez, someone else comes back. Paul Goldschmidt, 19% strikeout rate, 15% barrel rate. That's an awesome combo, hitting .265 with five homers. And even in this split week for the Yankees, where it's 3-3, Goldie still crushes lefties. So I think Goldschmidt's a pretty decent ad right now. Yeah,
We talked about him last week when it was two lefties and four righties, and we were like, this is the guy to add. Like, I know he's in your article. I wrote him up. Then somehow in a podcast on a Sunday talks about him, and that's the only people that apparently talked about him all week. But, I'm with you on the Goldie situation. That's been one you've been pounding that drum for a while, and the playing time is there. So he run with the White Sox, 15% barrel, not a common thing in baseball.
Yep.
Other than that, pitching's pretty much business as usual for me.
Pitching's pretty much business as usual. A little bit of a side thing, but man, Gerrit Cole looks good.
Yes, he does.
And chalk one up for, you know, chalk one up for the stash this season, right? Gerrit Cole, Zach Wheeler's been really good. Like, I don't know. It's been those two have worked out, and a couple other stashes I can't think of off the top of my head. But Cole looks locked and loaded, ready to go.
Mustache rides to save the day, everybody. That's all that matters right there. All right, let's go to the Tampa Bay Rays. Six games this week, three at home versus Detroit, three at the Miami Marlins. Six righties for the Tampa Bay Rays, which is honestly the kind of thing we want to hear, is five righties and one lefty this week, six righties coming up. We can actually do something with this, Ryan.
Yeah, you could do something. Like, you could get Richie Palacio stealing some bags, going to play. And it's also six bad righties. It's a 10% K-minus walk. And again, you can see that right in the weekly planner here that we're streaming and that you can get access to if you want to support the show and join the Patreon. But a really nice schedule just in terms of lefty-righty, but also quality. What do you think about Hunter Fiducia streaming as a
son of a bitch, you
as a catcher?
I think he's great. I'm rostering him right now in Tout Wars. Just make sure you check your league settings that I guess somehow matter after the fact. But
you're probably going to keep him even if you didn't want him. You're probably keeping him this week. He's got a
356 OBP. Laugh all you want. That's all I care about in that format. He's actually
one
played
homer,
three straight games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate you.
Bubba attempted to. So the backstory here: Bubba attempted to acquire an illegal player.
The whole story.
And one said
we
illegal
found out he was
player.
Illegal after Fab Run. That's the problem.
So Brian Torres is somehow catcher eligible in Fantrax, which
Apparently second base only, though I've never seen him play second base in my life. So
Bubba got Brian Torres, and we found out he was not eligible at catcher. So did you get Brian Torres, or you just had to also get a catcher?
No, I want him.
So then Bubba had to get another catcher because you didn't have a full lineup. So
yeah.
Oh, it's pretty good stuff.
It's great.
Love it.
It's great. Nothing wrong here. But yeah, agree with you, Richie Palacios, Hunter Fiducias, whatever. Like, he's a catcher two in 15s actually, because if he keeps playing, but he's not a high end catcher two, that's for darn sure. Anything on the pitching side of things? Griffin Jacks left his last start after a line drive 112 mile an hour hit him in the back, but he's expected to make his next start. Don't have a whole lot there.
No, what do you think about? I don't even know if Victor Mace is an everyday player.
He should be versus righties. So,
you think he's worth it? Think he's worth a look? Hit 350 in the minors this year, but just 3 homers, 3 steals, 92 plate appearances for Victor Mesa Jr., 24. I don't know. He'd be a low end outfield ad for me. And
yeah, if you want to spend only. If you want to spend a buck down the fiducia ladder, then you could go that way. But I wouldn't be running to roster Victor Mesa. But to your point, though, bringing it back to the patreon.com/BubbaBlue and weekly planner, it's a great set of matchups. Like you said, the Cato walks about 10% that they're facing this week. It's really good because Flaherty can't throw strikes, and then you got Phillips, Junk, and Alcantara. Bad. So it's a good set of matchups.
Yeah. Woody's in the chat says, good to hear
it
that
wasn't
pros.
My mistake. That's the bullshit. You are really trying to get me going right now.
It's good to hear that. Woody says it's good to hear the pros like you make mistakes in Fab. Bubba definitely made the mistake. Can make mistakes as well in Fab. My famous mistake was fabbing the wrong Festa. I wanted Matt Festa and I got David Festa. Bubba's mistake was not checking eligibility before the Fab ran. Yeah. So
I trusted that the website was properly put together. Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, yeah.
This week.
I just love poking the bear. It's awesome.
Three at the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, well, if you guys just saw the text messages I sent to him when that went down, it is not safe for work. Three at the Atlanta Braves, 3 versus the Baltimore Orioles, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Jays this week.
Yeah, we've got Nathan Lucas is back and hitting near the top of the lineup against righties. So I don't know if Nathan Lucas.
I wouldn't be adding Nathan Lucas, I'll tell you that much. That wouldn't be a priority for me. But
that is news, I guess. I don't know if he's any good, though.
No, I wouldn't add him back. But like Jesus Sanchez, your boy, is going to keep getting run on weeks like this. And Pinongo, he sat Thursday, but he's been playing pretty regularly, even with Lucas back, which is a plus.
Which is a plus, and that was the fear when Lucas came back that Pinongo would not play. We'll see. They also called up Charles McAdoo, which is a hell of a name.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was Bob McAdoo, any relation there, but no answer for that one.
Yeah. Not an ad for me either.
No, I don't even know where he's going to play, but yeah, people are pretty excited on that. Doesn't really do a whole lot to move the needle for me. Pitching side of things, I really don't have a whole heck of a lot. Max Scherzer starting a rehab assignment this Sunday. They're saying he needs 2 to 3, so we could get him back the second week of June if that is of any interest for people out there. With Dylan Cease on the IL, we might get some Austin Voth in our life. There's a few other options. And Nebraska
Dong
just walked it off in the 10th.
That Corn Dong.
That is a beauty. That's a Husker. Never mind. I got more jokes, but I'll stop. Anything on the pitching side?
Yeah, Scherzer's not someone to wait for. The skills have been terrible. Like, yes, he's back or will be back after a couple of rehabs, but not someone I'm waiting around for. Austin Voth, our favorite, is going to make his season debut Friday at Baltimore. Then faces at Atlanta.
Nope.
Of this week we're talking about. So stay far away from Austin.
That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. Atlanta's crushing.
Yeah, they're on fire right now. So just wait for Dylan Cease to come back. Or, hey, folks, Spencer Miles already got the W step one of the two-step as he does the brand route in the piggyback for everybody out there. And what does he line up for this week? He gets Baltimore Orioles, which is a coin flip when you face them right now. So I don't mind Spencer Miles. I don't mind rolling that still.
Especially if he's the if he's the follower in the piggyback. So 35% rostered Spencer Miles and 12 teamers on the NFBC. So still out there, still available.
Yes, indeed. Chicago White Sox, they have 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Minnesota, 3 at Philadelphia, 3 lefties and 3 righties for the pesky Chicago White Sox, who are turning into some of these teams we like love to hate, that the top half of the order is like identical every week. Yeah. And then it's just a disaster.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how I see it. There, it's you know, we all love Riku, but it's not an ad for me. The only one that's like in between the widely rostered and like Platoonsville low end hitters is Chase Meidroth, your boy, hitting for some power this year. And again, he's only 24, like growing into power, perhaps. 5% barrel rate. Last year it was 1.5. He's got 8 barrels this season. With 5 homers, hitting .273, really wish the guy would run more. Only 1 steal, but if you're desperate for middle infield in deeper leagues, Chase Meidroth plays every single day and is flashing some pop this year. That's a nice little nugget of growth for Meidroth.
Love to hear you coming around on that one.
Hey.
In the rotation, though, we got Mr. David Sandlin, who made his MLB debut and went 6 innings. He hadn't done that in all the minor leagues, so that was pretty impressive. He gets at Minnesota, at Philadelphia this week, Ryan. Does that interest you at all?
It certainly does in 15 teamers. I don't even think Sandlin went more than 4 innings in the minors this year.
No, I was shocked when I saw 6.
Yeah, it was a very efficient. I think he only threw 61 pitches. So like I would not expect that to be the norm. I think with Sandlin, length is still a risk. Because how often are you going to get through 5 innings with 61 pitches? Like I don't know how often he'll do that, but the 2-step looks very nice. You did say it was a 2-step, right?
At Minnesota, at Philadelphia. Yep.
So certainly in 15 teamers, when the options are not there, Sandlin is an option. You
Yep, he is definitely a 15-team auction, 12, kind of a toss-up for everybody. But yeah. The other thing I'll mention is Grant Taylor. That experiment that people picked up last week, I think we know where that's headed. So you can move on that one.
Yep.
Cleveland Guardians, they have 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at the Yankees, 3 at the Texas Rangers, 1 lefty and 5 righty. So you can stick with your Kyle Manzardo if you're feeling frisky.
You can stick with your Kyle Manzardo's hit a little better lately. I don't know. He hasn't been all that. I really don't have much. I mean, outside of our weekly Brian Rocchio love that you started
a long time ago.
Yeah, there's not much movement here. Guardians are pretty set in their ways.
Yeah, Manzardo, he has hit better the last couple of weeks, still 47% in 12, so he's a guy to keep an eye on there, but not much there. When it comes to the pitching side, they're pretty much locked and loaded as well. So,
yep,
I got nothing else to mention there. Detroit Tigers, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Tampa Bay, 3 versus your Seattle Mariners, 1 lefty and 5 righties again for a Tigers team, which you mentioned is on the struggle. It's Grayson Rodriguez 5 strong against the Tigers today.
Yeah, not great, though. Grayson did pitch well in his during his rehab, so maybe there's some truth to that. We talked about the Kenley Jansen stuff at the top, so we won't rehash that. If Casey Mize is hurt, if Casey Mize goes on the IL, it seems like picking back up Ty Madden is probably the way to go. It sounds like he's back soon, and his injury was what, he got hit with a comebacker, didn't he?
A comebacker, yeah, on his forearm.
Wasn't an arm, so I think Ty Madden, that timing might actually work out to where Madden can slide back in. I don't know what you think, but
yeah, we'll see about that. Like the timing works, but we'll kind of keep an eye on that. It could be a lot of weird scenarios. I've seen, Sawyer Gibson Long still hanging around. If you're interested, I'm not, but he's there. The one that I would keep an eye on, are you buying Troy Melton now since he's going to be available on the waiver wire in NFBC?
Yes. Yeah, I was buying Troy Melton last week. And I guess, yeah, now in NFBC type leagues, he is available in the player pool. Pitched well in his first start of the season. I pitched well in rehab. I think Troy Melton's pretty good. And I think he, especially with the Mize injury, I think he's got a little bit more runway in the rotation. So yeah, Troy Melton, if he's available in your leagues, I think he's.
The other things I would mention real quick from a injury perspective is Kerry Carpenter and Gleyber Torres are starting rehab assignments on Friday. Kerry Carpenter should be in the lineup on Friday. Gleyber Torres still has to check another box or two before he starts getting into game action at AAA. Tarek Skubal is set to throw another live, like, simulated game at the beginning of the week. There's a chance we get him back in the second week of June. So keep that in mind if you have been holding on to one Tarek Skubal as well. All right, we have the Kansas City Royals. They have 7 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Great American Small Park, 4 at the Minnesota Twins, 1 lefty and 6 righties for a dreadful Kansas City Royals offense.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. I mean, obviously you've got Bobby Witt. Sal Perez has been hitting better lately, but Vinny P's been rough. Carter Jensen, who we talked about last show, has been dreadful over the last month. Jack Caglione, strikeout rate is way up. Mike Mount Massey, if you're looking at streamers, you know I have to give some Mount Massey love, but not to. Even not, yeah, I guess I don't have to, but I have to pay homage to the shtick of Mount Massey, and really zero idea the origin of that nickname, but we roll with it. Hitting .226, 3 home runs, like, it's just a bad lineup. I don't see anything to add, like the lefties, the platoon lefties here, including Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell. It's just not something I'm doing.
The worst part with the Royals, it's guys that are going to play every day, guys that we want to roster. It's a team of Jane Seguras outside of Bobby Witt. And I'll give Salvi some love. He's actually been hitting with power, but like most of the Jensen, the Vinny P's, even the Cags, it's like, what are we doing? But we fight on. The pitching side of things, Reagans is shut down again. We should have a report here Friday or Saturday on the next steps for Cole Reagans. Are anything you like here in the rotation? Like, I'm still not going to Steven Kolek. I will say Bubich is ramping back up. He should be back almost at the minimum. So that's a plus, unless he gets a setback like Reagans.
Yeah, and I'm also not. I mean, Kolek's been, he's got a sub-3 ERA, but the skills are more of a mid-4s. Type ERA guys, so I think that regression is going to hit pretty hard. Yeah, you covered the rest. So pretty boring team right now in terms of fab.
Sorry, Kevin. Minnesota Twins, they have 7 games this week, all at home. 3 versus the White Sox, 4 versus the Royals, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Twins, Ryan.
For the Twins, you've got, with all those righties, you can look at Cody Clemens. Maybe Trevor Larnach. I feel like I say that every week, and they don't really do much. Clemens actually, he's playing a little better than Trevor Larnach.
He homered a day or two ago, so you got that going for you.
So you could go that route. I think Clemens qualifies everywhere, so kind of a nice piece. Yeah, Clemens is first base, second base, outfield, and who knows, maybe in Fantrax catcher, but could be a decent kind of flexibility piece.
Yep. I don't have much else. If Austin Martin's still out there, go pick him up. Brooks Lee's widely rostered, but if he's not, pick him up. They're actually producing at the moment. Pitching side of things, I don't have a whole lot when it comes to ads, but are we dropping Connor Prelip? I think that ship has potentially sailed.
Yeah, I've got some Prelip. He gets a 2-step next week. So
that's what I'm asking. Not all 2-steps are created equal.
Yeah. What are we looking at?
He doesn't. Joe Ryan's got the 2-step. Prelip
does not right now.
Oh, okay. Prelip gets the White Sox,
which is nice. I think Prelip's still fine for a 15-teamer. 24% strikeout rate. The problem is the control and the fly balls, and also just the long-term viability for Connor Prelip with the lack of innings in his past. Like, you may be right. You usually are. We may have seen the best of Connor Prelip at this point.
And he could get a 2-step because Kendy Rojas got scratched, so they might go from a 6-man to a 5-man.
They had to throw the splitter back out there today.
And
splitter with Richardson.
There's a reason they haven't been throwing the splitter, and they saw evidence in front of them. So if they go back to the five man, then he would get a two step prelip. That is against the White Sox, and I believe it was
the Royals. I mean, that's a nice two step. Like that's I think you roll with that in 15 teamers, and if it doesn't work out after that, maybe you have a decision to make.
Agreed. The Sacramento Athletics, 6 games on the road this week, 3 at the Cubs, Wrigley Field, 3 at the Houston Astros, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the A's, who are starting to show a regular lineup, which is beautiful to see because there's a certain player that's non-existent in it anymore.
That's exactly where I was going. Lawrence Butler is in 12 teamers on the NFBC, 59% owned, 30% started.
God, there's an edge. There's always an edge.
Wake up, people. Lawrence Butler.
Please don't. Please don't. Stay where you are.
I guess don't. Because Bubba's now in half of the OC.
I'm heavily invested now. Stop.
But we don't need Lawrence Butler on our teams, folks. We don't need it. He started once the last week. And to your point, the A's, even though they got shut down pretty good by the Mariners first part of this week, I think they found the lineup that they want to roll with. So, but you know, and that includes the Sea of Cortez, that includes Henry Bolte. It does not include Lawrence Butler.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Pitching side of things, are we going to jump around? Are we feeling it? Because I love the skill sets. I really do. It's just a matter of how long does he stick around.
Gage Jump is, I don't know. Do you think he's
two-stepping it this week?
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, I think he's a pretty good ad this week. Which pitcher we were just talking about?
Prelip?
No, not Prelip. I don't know. We can move on. You can talk about Gage Jump. I'll look it up. I was trying to compare Gage Jump with another starting pitcher who we just Sandlin.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Sandlin. I'd rather have Jump.
Have Jump over Sandlin if you're okay. Prioritizing starters. Yeah. I think Gage Jump would, I mean, as long as he pitches well, I think he's got a spot.
I think so too. He's really good. He made 9 starts in AAA, 56 Ks to 20 walks, was getting better. Like his last 2 starts before he got called up was outstanding. I'm a big fan of Gage Jump. He had the rough start. Adrenaline, I'm going to give credit to that one. Bounce and finish strong though. Like he got his stuff together on the mound and looked really, really good. So I'm a Gage Jump fan. He's young. There's going to be hiccups while he's out there, but I think he's very solid. And that's a very intriguing two-step against the Cubs team, which is not as potent as it once was. It could kick into gear any moment, but then also a really nice looking matchup against Houston. So yeah, I'll take some Gage Jump for sure.
Jump through 112 innings last year. So, I mean, ideally you like to see a little more, but workload's not too much of an issue. He could go 130, 140. Again, assuming he pitches well.
Just give me 75 and he can leave.
Exactly.
I'll move on.
You don't. Yeah. Exactly. The two step on the road this week is nice. It always cracks me up when an Athletic makes their MLB debut in Sacramento's ballpark. Like that kind of has to suck a little bit.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's pitching in the PCL, so I think he's used to it. It's just kind of the way of the world. He's pitch on the moon around there. Nothing else for me with the A's unless you got something.
No, that's it. Gage Jump's the big one to look at. He's not the big fish for starting pitchers. We'll get there, but
we'll get to that one shortly. But
Gage Jump will, I think he'll go for some money this weekend.
I agree. Houston Astros, they have 6 games this week, 3 against the Pittsburgh Pirates they might face, said pitcher we'll talk about shortly, and 3 versus the Athletics, 2 lefties and 4 righties for a Houston team that actually swung it well their last few games, but as a whole, Yordan Alvarez swung it really well the last few games, and the rest of the team's trying to hang around. Pena's heating up, I'll give him that, but yeah.
Pena's back and heating up. I think the Astros have won 6 of their last 7 to improve to 26-32 on the season, which we laugh, but that's 2.5 games back.
Yeah, they're on the move.
In the AL West of the first-place Mariners who have a losing record. So
that's good baseball right there.
What a division. I don't have too much in terms of ads on the hitting side. I mean, we'll probably talk Josh Hader in a minute, but Jake Myers, I thought, could be. He hasn't even played every day. Your boy, Schumacher. Just wanted to throw that one out there. Not playing enough and just not good enough either. So I don't have anything for Houston hitters.
The only thing I have is for the hitter side, Cam Smith in 12s, you can think about dropping him if you have not yet, folks. Just going to put that in your ears. I know we keep looking at the hard hit and all that stuff, but that only does so much for your roto line as the season goes along. So
yep.
Keep that in mind. All right, pitching side, before we go to the bullpen, do you have anything on the starting rotation?
No, unless you do.
Tang faces Pittsburgh this week. I'm going to keep promoting some Tang around here.
Yeah.
He's pitching really well. He's still only 40% rostered, so I will throw his name into the hat.
Yeah, that's interesting. I almost didn't even bring him up because I thought he was higher rostered than that. 40% in 12s, I'm assuming.
Yeah, 40% in 12s, yeah.
Yeah, no, Tang's pitching well, and given all the injuries Houston has had, that is a safe rotation spot. I did see, did I read it in your column, Hunter Brown is throwing?
Yes, he's throwing. He made a rehab start a couple days ago. He's supposed to make another one this weekend. They're shooting for mid-June for Hunter Brown, so he will be back shortly, which, yes, that makes things interesting. But to be fair, Mike Burrows, he actually pitched decent finally. He hasn't been great. Emi hasn't been great. Lambert hasn't been great. Arrighetti can't find a strikeout. Like
if Tang, like Arrighetti on the surface has pitched well, but like, I'm
it's a bad rotation.
There. Yeah,
There's room for Tang to hang around.
Exactly. There's always some room to hang with Tang.
Yes.
Go for there. Drink some.
There you go. There
some
you
good go. Orange stuff. Did I tell you I bought some Tang?
Yeah. How'd it go?
Still haven't tried it.
You know what I recommend? That special like Slovandia vodka you got, throw some of that in there. You'll never know the difference.
Yeah, that's actually that could be a play this weekend. It could
like
be
on an afternoon when it's a little warm, maybe on a barbecue.
Just golf course ideas tomorrow. Out there.
Still, yeah, dude, fill up a little like Yeti cup or something. Put it stays cold all day.
I've got to go to my kid's carnival thing after golf, so I got to keep
even
it.
Better. Make it two. Yeah.
It may be for the carnival, actually.
Yeah, let's go. Like, this is not a better and better.
Yeah, here's some juice, kids.
Yeah. All right, let me tell you about Tang. All right, what do you got on the bullpen? You mentioned it earlier. I'll let you run with this one.
Well, yeah, Hader is pitching, I think, back-to-back games tonight.
So he might be back Saturday or so.
Yeah, Hader could be back, and you are starting him for this week that we're talking about, starting June 1st. So, and I would assume Hader goes right into the closing role, and thus you could drop. I picked up some Michael King recently for not too much money. He's got me a couple saves. I like that. I'll probably hold on to him for a week just to see.
Yes,
but then I'm gonna cut bait there.
Yeah, I would hold your Kings and your Braves for a week or two just to make sure Hader, because he pitched the back to back. That's what they wanted to see. He threw the back to back. But the velo was okay. Like, it wasn't down, but it wasn't great. His control was not great both nights. He had a couple walks both outings. So let's just see him. He's not going to be able to go a lot of back-to-backs, which leaves room for the other guys. Let's put it that way, for at least a little while.
Yeah.
All right. Let's head to the Angels. Anaheim Angels. 6 games this week. 3 at home versus the Road Rockies. 3 at the Dodgers. 1 lefty and 5 righties. And let's not forget, anybody, that the Angels swept the Dodgers last year. So miracles do happen, if you believe in said miracles. But what do you got for the hitting side of things with the Angels?
Hitting side of things, Vaughn Grissom had the game of his life this past week. He is playing first base now for the injured Nolan Schanuel.
Yes. Real quick, Schanuel might be out for a while. So this could be a longer-term situation. He apparently has an ankle injury all year that led to the calf injury that he suffered. And the calf injury got worse and worse. And then they did an MRI, and he has ankle, tendonitis. So he's a mess right now.
So am I. Can't find my phone. Not that I really need it, but whatever.
First world problems.
What's your take on Wade Mechler? That's the only other guy I was going to bring up. Dude. He's been playing every day, hitting somewhat well.
Wrote him up in my fab column last week. Ben Titt even texted me. I was like, wow, I put him in my waterfalls because I didn't even think about him. Yep. But yeah, in trip, he's 429 homer and a steal in 15 plate appearances. He starts versus righty, sits versus lefty, so it works for this week. He was hitting 315 in the minors, 4 homers, 6 steals, former Giants prospect. So I know this all too well. He will do well somewhere else. Is he going to light the world on fire? No, but even he was walking almost 19% of the time while striking out 17%. So and he's walked over 10% most of his career in the minors. So you got plate discipline, you got some pop, you got some speed and a decent batting average. If he's going to play against all the righties, I like him in 15s and you can stream him in 12s. Like I had him in my waterfalls and I got a couple 15 shares this past week.
I like it. I like it. Certainly for this week. Absolutely. Wade Meckler. Yeah. Add him to the list. Write him down, Bubba.
Oh, I did. Actually, I didn't him. Let me add it right now. Wade Meckler. There you go. Any other hitters with one thing I will mention on the hitting side, Logan Ohapi, you can drop him too if you want, if you have other catching options. I know catching options are bleak.
Yeah.
He's dog garbage right now. And I've been a little Ohapi guy through and through. It's 202. Like the strikeout rate's down, so people get excited. But it's a 202 average, one homer. Looks rather lost, but more importantly, the dude's playing hurt, like bad. And he needs to go on the IL for a while. So as long as he's playing hurt, I don't want anything to do with him on my team, personally. Like, it's not good out there.
Sebastian Rivero is the current backup catcher, and he is no good either. So.
No, they don't have a good catcher. That's why Ohapi's out there. But like before his last IL stint, we made a joke. He was playing like every single day. Now he actually does sit, which is telling you he's that banged up right now. So yeah. Ohapi's not as locked in as people want to think he is. All right, pitching side, anything you got? No, kind of, sort of. Grayson Rodriguez, does that work for you?
That works for me. I think I just cut out for a second there. So Grayson Rodriguez.
Road Rockies.
It's the Road Rockies.
Yep, 60% rostered in 12s.
Walbert Urania, the bane of my existence.
Hey, keeps doing well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, Bubba. He does. I think he pitches Friday night, so let's hope this doesn't age well at the Rays. Walbert Urania. Well,
after what you just said, he's going to throw 7 shutout now. But
he misses the Dodgers. He misses the Dodgers series. Lucky.
Yeah. Grayson gets the Road Rockies. Urania gets the Road Rockies, and then the following week, Grayson gets Houston and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so. that's a good stretch.
So, if you like to look ahead, it works out well. Kirby Yates appears to be the closer right now. If that interests anybody, he was widely picked up last week.
Yeah, and it does. I've got a couple of Yates, and I don't know. I don't know if he's any good, but I think he's got the role, and that's all you ask for, even though, again, size of the pie type deal in Anaheim probably isn't that big. But, Mr. Grouch asks, where on the Angels is Jose Soriano back to being just a streamer pitcher?
No.
I think you still roll with him most all the time. But it's falling back.
He's coming back to earth, but he's still been very good. Like, if anything, he's just not getting all the strikeouts he once had, but he's still giving you some really solid starts out there compared to a lot of other pitchers in the game. So, is he the best pitcher in baseball? No. Did you think he's going to be the best pitcher for the rest of the year? You shouldn't have.
The strikeouts have fallen way back. He had a 30% strikeout rate in April, more or less, over his last 5 starts. That's down to 23%. So, but still a ground ball machine, enough K's. Yeah, he's not a stud, but I think he's good enough in most formats to roll with.
Yep, full agree there. I got nothing else with the Angels if you'd like to move to Seattle. 6 games this week for the Seattle Mariners, 3 at home versus the Mets, 3 at the Detroit Tigers, 2 lefties and 4 righties for your boys.
Yeah, I don't have much here. Victor Robles is back, but seems like he's going to be short side platoon. I don't think there's enough playing time for Victor Robles. That's pretty much all I have on the hitter side. The pitcher side continues to be a drama with this piggyback between Luis Castillo and Bryce Miller. The team has said they're going to continue, at least for now, at least another piggyback or two to have those guys. I don't know the order of the piggyback, but that certainly matters because whoever's on the back end there gonna get a decent chance for wins. So that's what I have for the Mariners.
Yeah, and that's about it. Like, it's 4 righties, so you technically can start your Ken Zones. He's still 41% rostered if you want. It's just we prefer the 5 righty plus weeks, but it still works for you.
Yep.
Texas Rangers have six games this week, three at the Cardinals, three at home versus the Cleveland Guardians, two lefties and four righties for the Texas Rangers, a Rangers team that is, Jock Peterson's having a big week.
Yeah, Jock P is doing some things, but I would not trust Jock Peterson in a four righty week. That'd have to be a six or seven righty week for me to go there. Our collective boy, Justin Foscue, is losing playing time to Nicky Lopez, who I did not even realize was on the Rangers, honest.
First off, it was in the news column on Wednesday that the Rangers signed Nicky Lopez and DFA'd Andrew McCutchen. So first, Nicky Lopez chops McCutcheon's head off. It was like one of the first episodes of Game of Thrones. And then they come through and he takes Justin Foskey's job. Like, what did Nicky Lopez do to deserve all of this? Is he like the Tyrion Lannister of this place, or what's going on here? I'm just like, you throwing Game of Thrones references.
Yeah,
Ryan has no idea.
Zero idea what the hell that is. But yeah. No, I that is shocking to me that Nicky Lopez is like, they didn't really Foscue. I mean, I don't know. Foskey's probably not that great. Like, we're kind of hitching ourselves to a wagon that has two wheels, but Nicky Lopez, come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. It's stupid. And this is why bad teams stay bad, Ryan. Other than that, like, Ezekiel Duran's widely rostered, so you're kind of behind the eight ball there.
Falling back to earth, too.
Yeah, but I still don't mind him. Pitching side of things, I'm still going to be a Kumar Rocker believer, but he's tough to start. I'll be totally honest with you on that one.
Yeah, you love
Kumar. Go back to the piggyback. They used it. It was great. They went away from it, and he sucked again. Like, again, bad teams stay bad, is what I'll say.
Yeah. Nothing on the bullpen either for me.
All right, Atlanta Braves, six games this week, three at home versus Toronto, three at home versus Pittsburgh, one lefty and five righties for what might be the best offense in all of baseball right now. And I did say five righties in six games, Ryan, so what's that mean?
The Dominator.
We back, baby. We back.
The Dominator, lock and load, started today against a lefty.
Love to see it.
So, yeah, Dom Smith, you can do it. Five righties, five bad righties. One of them's Austin Voth. So
that's a double dong situation.
There you go. One who I will not be starting, and this was brought up in the Discord this week when we were talking about some Gene Segura candidates, Ha-Seong Kim.
Yeah.
It's bad, man. And in 15 teamers, I think a bench, not a drop, but he's hitting 0.95. through 47 plate appearances. Ha-Seong Kim, 28% strikeout rate, one barrel, one stolen base. He's doing nothing for you.
Yeah, nothing at all. Like, you can easily move on from that situation, and maybe he gets going again, but you can figure that out at a later date and time. Like, Mauricio Dubon's playing every day, which is hilarious to me. But yeah, Dom Smith's the main takeaway from this one.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, they're pretty much locked in there. There's not a whole lot to go over with the Braves.
Yep. Agreed.
All right, the Miami Marlins, they have six games this week, three at the Nationals, three at home versus the Tampa Bay Rays, two lefties and four righties for the Miami Marlins.
I don't have much for Miami other than the catcher situation. I know in Discord this week, Ben Tidd, who has some skin in the game and maybe a biased observer, noted how bad Joe Mack has been. I think he's got a 2-something OBP, 262 OBP so far. How long does Agustin Ramirez have a shot to get back soon?
Well, I want to say yes, but their whole argument was the defense, because if they wanted his offense, they would have left him up there. I know he wasn't playing great, but let's just be real about the situation. I hope the Goose is back soon, but if the defense argument's what it is, like, Mac's still playing defense well. That's the problem. To be fair, to give you some more context on your jabs earlier, Mac is who I dropped for Fiducia, if you're curious. So it's going to give you
that.
Give you that bit of context real quick to really have some fun with it. But Mac should not be starting for a fantasy team right now. I'll say that much, because we don't get defensive points.
Fiducia for Mac.
Yeah, that's where we are right now, Ryan. Anything on the pitching side of things? Because I don't really care. I want to see what happens with Yuri Perez and who gets called up, basically.
Yeah, we talked about Yuri at the top, so nope.
Yep. All right, the New York Mets. They have Six games this week, three at the Seattle Mariners, three at the San Diego Padres, a little West Coast trip for the Mets. All six right-handed pitchers for the Metropolitans, which still doesn't do a whole heck of a lot for me.
No, I mean, the one name that's, I don't know, maybe relevant is Jared Young, who came off the IL, started Tuesday at first base, I believe was overseas last year. Yes, he was in the KBO. So, you know, who knows if he's good or not. But I think the biggest thing is he may be taking playing time away from Mark Vientos. I think Michael C. is in the chat. Yeah, he's a little behind, but for the Mets, are we holding Vientos rough couple weeks? Polanco not far off, and now Young is in the mix. So Vientos could be a short side platooner. We'll see. And maybe with six righties, I don't think you can start Vientos.
Yeah, Vientos should be a short side platooner. Polanco did start a rehab assignment on Thursday, I believe. So that is happening. He'll be back sooner rather than later. So to your Young comment, and Paul in the chat says Young's UT only on NFBC, so keep that in mind. But even if Young comes, like, Polanco should still be out for a couple weeks, at least the six righties week. You should get a lot of Young in your life if you're looking for that. I'm kind of avoiding the Mets in general, but I see where you're going with that. All right, pitching side of things. Nolan McClain has been bad. David Peterson's supposed to go to the bullpen, potentially Sean Manaea coming
in. Dude, I streamed him this week. I wanted to die.
Jonah Tong sticking around. They just can't guarantee you what his role is going to be right now. I wrote up Freddie Peralta for matchups on Friday. He's been really bad. It's a bad rotation. It's the nicest way I can put it.
And I don't know if they have any other options, right? Like, they've called up Christian Scott. They called up Tong. The injuries, like, it's brutal. It's brutal right now. It's just Freddie Peralta could be on the move pretty soon.
Should be on the move. Philadelphia Phillies, they have six games at home this week, three against the Padres, three against the White Sox, one lefty and five righties. And it's a pretty sweet week, especially the start of the week for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yep. Lock and load, especially, yeah, that first part of the week against the Padres. Randy Vasquez, who's been bad lately, Walker Buehler and Giolito. You want your Brandon Marsh, assuming he's healthy, in there. You want Justin Crawford in there. So, yeah, your lefties on the Phillies are you want to roll with them. As usual, though, there's really nothing here. Unless Brandon Marsh is hurt, we might get some Edmundo Sosa. I don't know.
He's filling for him, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. And then just a hat tip to the GOAT, Mr. Sanchez.
Dude, beast. 44 scoreless.
Yeah, I wrote him up for Wednesday's matchups, and I was just mesmerized by his box scores that I was going over.
It's like, who is the SP4 in 2026? Who is the SP1 in 2026?
Yeah. I remember the flack I got from people when I said he was my SP4, and people thought I was crazy. And I think we're doing okay on that one so far.
Mine, I took him in labor as SP4.
You were on that one, so. And I remember every draft I saw in Vegas that one John Posma was in, Christopher Sanchez was on his roster. So keep that in mind. Washington Nationals, six games this week, three at home versus Miami, three at the Arizona Diamondbacks, one lefty and five righties for the Nationals, the pesky Washington Nationals.
All right, I think I'm back. Am I back?
Yes. Yes, you are. You're back. We're talking Washington Nationals. I'm going to start off with Curtis
Internet Mead. Issues here at the house is Curtis Mead. Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So what do you got? What do you got on Curtis Mead?
No, I just think the playing time's there with House being sent down. Curtis Mead is hitting third in the Nationals are the top run scoring lineup in all of baseball. So, like, this is a really good lineup, and Curtis Mead's hitting in the middle of it. He's still only 25 years old. He's got 11 barrels already, three steals, seven homers. Hitting 236, but really good strikeout rate. Curtis Mead, I think, is a priority add at this point.
3% rostered, first base, third base on the NFBC platform. Probably has catcher on FanTrax. So
That's the second catcher joke we made tonight.
So. I'd make sure to go check out that and see where it goes. Check your league settings first. Any other hitters? I don't have nothing else because Kyber Ruiz, if he's still hanging out, I know the playing time's inconsistent with Kyber, but he is their primary catcher. Drew Milos somehow gets run. Hey, he's up to 96%. Never mind. People have wisened to that one. So I got nothing else on the hitting side of things.
Agreed. I don't have much on the rotation either.
No.
Unless you do.
No, I got nothing there.
It's brutal. Clayton Beter came back. Talking bullpen, Clayton Beter came back this past week. But Richard Lovelady got the save on Saturday. Gus Varland's, the Gus bus is still parked in that ninth inning parking lot. I don't think or know if there is a guy, which is unfortunate because the size of this pie could be decent if the rotation is, you know, salvageable.
Yeah, Lovelady feels like he's the multi-inning leverage guy. Same with Varland, like one's the lefty version, one's the righty version, and then Beter kind of hangs around. So it's going to be interesting how one plays out.
Yeah.
Chicago Cubs, they have six games in Wrigley this week against the Bay Area, because I still consider Sacramento, at least I'm going to call it that for now. It's not. I'm aware. Grew up next to it. So don't yell at me. Three against Sacramento, three against San Francisco, three lefties, three righties for the Cubs, which really dwindles any streaming possibilities. But just drop Ballesteros, please. Drop him in all your formats. Just stop playing the game.
Agreed. That's my one note that I had, was dropped by Asteris. And if you're the Cubs, you just called up Kevin Alcantara. Apologies if I mispronounced that one. You just called up Pedro Ramirez. You haven't started any of them. Like, give them a shot instead of Ballesteros.
They did this with Alcantara last year, too. They kept yo-yoing him and Owen Casey around, and they could never play them.
I don't get it.
Stupid. Like, Ballesteros, we know the ceiling could be there, and we saw it for like 3 weeks. But right now, he can't. Like, he needs to get his mind right. He is pressing. It's bad. Really bad. So, like, they bench Ian Happ for two games to fix his mind, and he comes back and starts hitting. They just let Ballesteros go out and strike out over and over again. So, who knows? But, yeah, that's all I got when it comes to the Cubbies.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, Jordan Wicks is up for Edward Cabrera, but Edward Cabrera was throwing like a 20-pitch bullpen on Thursday, threw all his pitches, no issues. He left with that blister issue. So, looks like Edward Cabrera will be back at the minimum. So keep that on your roster as well.
Which is addition by subtraction with Wicks. He got Wicks torched his last start. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I saw this note on Twitter tonight, so it must be true. The Cubs have 31 wins this season, but only 10 saves. It has been a brutal Palencia's stretch of luck for Palencia. And it's not even his fault. Like, the Cubs have gone on epic losing streaks. So they've also gone epic heaters. Where I know Palencia was on the IL for a little bit there, but where they're just blowing everyone out. Only 10 saves out of 31 wins. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, no, it's been a rough go because he's actually still pitching great, but there's nothing you can do about that. That's the hardest part. Like, some teams you can just cut guys. You're not cutting Palencia. He's actually been awesome. So that's
pretty tough. And that could change. I mean, the next month he could get 10 saves next month. That's just luck of the draw.
100%. Cincinnati Reds, they have three games at home versus the Royals, then three at the Cardinals. Nice little rivalry weekend there. I bet John Wilder will be pumped. Him and D-Sawa will be going at it there.
Yeah, those guys, man, they are.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a beautiful rivalry in the Discord. Yeah,
good friendship. That's the best part, is they're actually friends, so that's why I laugh when it's a rivalry. Two lefties and four righties for the Reds this week.
And I don't have much. Nathaniel Lowe's starting to hit again. I don't know if he was starting to be dropped recently. So four righty week.
You just gotta play the game with him.
Yeah, it's tough to time it. But the JJ Bleday ship has long sailed. Yeah. I don't have anything here.
No, I don't have anything either. Most of the guys. If Blake Dunn is still around, he's leading off. Like, fix that. That's like, he's playing really well. He runs a little bit of pop. Yeah, Blake Dunn's like 11% rostered in 12s. That's the move I would be making if I was you guys. Blake Dunn, he was on my waterfalls. It was Blake Dunn, Meckler, Esmer, and Valdez, who we'll talk about in a second, and Mr. Torres, the catcher, was the fourth one on that list. So, yeah, Blake Dunn should be rostered in most formats.
Yep, leadoff helps a lot. I will add, Noelvi Marte is destroying baseballs. I guess they call him Quad A Marte at this point.
Him and Royce Lewis do the Spider-Man gif.
Exactly. figured I'd throw that out there. Nolan Marte could be back at some point because the Reds could probably find a spot for him. And I don't know, who knows, probably flounders again, but that's someone who a few months ago was a top 200 pick, could be back soon.
Could stash him for a dollar right now if you feel like stashing.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, their rotation's locked in even with Chris Paddock, so I got nothing.
I got nothing. No save chances really lately for the Reds either, and there's just too many cooks in that kitchen, and a lot of them can't cook.
Yes, not a good kitchen to be in. All right, Milwaukee Brewers, 7 games this week, 4 at home versus the Giants, 3 at Coors Field, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Milwaukee Brewers. What you got?
6 righties, so get your Jake Bowers in there. He's hitting 5th against righties in that lineup to a lesser extent, I think. Sal Frelick, well, if you need bags, you go Frelick and David Hamilton to maybe an even lesser extent, but could get you bags. Those guys are going to play a ton this week.
Yeah, Hamilton was a guy because they had like 5 or 6 righties this past week also. I was picking up the stream for the steals as well, so I wouldn't be opposed to it, especially with the 3 in Coors and the Giants pitching staff, especially their bullpen. Like, it could be a big week for the Brewers. And then I'll throw out Garrett Mitchell. A lot of people dropped him because he was struggling a ton. He's 45% rostered in 12s, and he's starting to swing it again since he was banged up with it was either a neck or a back injury. He's been back for 4 games now, and he's hit safely in all 4 games. He's got a homer in that mix. We saw how hot he was at one point in time and start the season. I think this is a guy you could take advantage of in a really nice schedule this week.
Yeah, I won't hate on you for that one.
Pitching side of things, we're good. Colman Crow should get another start this next week if Ryan's interested in that.
Sure.
Not sure. He's been eating Crow on that one, but Crow might get lit up on Friday night this week, so you don't have to worry about it. But he gets the Giants next week, so that's why I want to throw him out there.
And that, I mean, that alone is, again, I'm not throwing shade. The Giants are so bad that alone is,
you can throw all the shade you want.
Is decent. I don't think Colman Crow is that great, but
he's not.
You know, every other starting pitcher I say that about turns into Davis Martin. So pick up Colman Crow. What do I know?
Funny. It was funny. I was looking at his HQ page, game log before the show, and his first start was like a 3% swinging strike. His last start though was a 13.5% swinging strike. I was like, he's two different pitchers. Which Colman Crow shows up this week?
Yeah.
All right. And the other quick bit of news, Trevor McGill's got the last 2 saves ever since the DX chop went off. keep that one in mind, everybody.
Just unreal stuff from Abner Uribe, who I assume was internally suspended.
He went full Kenny Powers, dude. It wasn't just your...
With multiple chops, dude. It wasn't
just your raw is war DX chop. It was like he was summoning things from the gods, and then he was all over the place. It was impressive.
It was unreal. So I don't know, man. Who knows? Like, you never know when someone's given the 9th. You pick up a couple saves like McGill has.
And he threw 100 in his last outing. He talked about it after the game. First time he's thrown 100 since his injury.
You've got, you also have major league leading win total, Aaron Ashby, who has 9 wins. 9 wins already this season, Bubba. Yep.
He's widely rostered. I know in 15s for sure. I've been trying to see if he gets dropped anywhere. He's 42% in 12s, which is a lot for a non-starter, which he should be for what he's doing, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, this is the one where things got really interesting on Thursday. Lots of news dropped on Thursday with the Pittsburgh Pirates, everybody. 6 games, all on the road. 3 at Houston, 3 at Atlanta, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Let's keep this in order. We'll start hitters first, Ryan. Esmerlin Valdez was sent back to AAA on Thursday. Yeah. Connor Griffin's dealing with a forearm soreness. Testing went okay. He's day-to-day. Thoughts on the hitting situation with Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by the Esmerlin demotion. I picked him up in labor for 2-3 bucks. We got a homer out of him, I guess, this week. I don't know. There have been worse missteps in my fab history, but I was surprised at that one, especially because the corresponding move was Tyler Callahan, who sounds like
who almost went deep. He had an RBI double off. He almost went deep today. I was laughing.
Sounds like a character in Tommy Boy.
I picture a redhead with freckles.
Tyler Callahan.
He sounds Irish to me.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. I am not interested in one Tyler Callahan. And I don't know. I mean, the password started tonight in left field.
Like, how did he not get sent down instead of Valdez? That's where I'm confused.
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't. Unless there's some internal thing. Maybe Esmerlin pulled the Uribe in the clubhouse at some point.
Maybe he, who knows? Crazy stuff.
So, yeah, that's not great. In terms of other ads, Spencer Horwitz has been on fire. We talked about him last week. We recommended him as a pickup because I believe the Pirates are in the middle of an all-righty week. Yep. And Spencer Horwitz is leading off against righties for the most part. So Spencer
17%, Horwitz is, 17% in 12s right now.
That's really low. So you can add him. I don't know about what about your boy Mangum style? He's not really playing that much. So
yeah, he's not playing. So he's just going Mangum style off the side somewhere. I will mention Nick Gonzalez left Thursday's game with a knee injury. So maybe Jared Triolo gets more time. It's not the biggest play, but in 15s or something there potentially. Don't get too excited.
Connor Griffin got banged up too.
Yep, mentioned that. His forearm soreness, but testing after the game. I saw right before we went on air. He's supposed to be fine, and they're hoping he's back this weekend.
Nice.
All right, let's get to the story at hand. The most likely biggest Fab acquisition this weekend will be one Jared Jones, who's making his season debut on Friday night, Ryan.
Yes, and I was surprised. Again, we're going to speak mostly because most of you are all in IL leagues, Jared Jones. I know in Tout Wars and Labor, he was drafted and then stashed on the IL. So this is more for non-IL leagues. I was surprised at how under-rostered Jared Jones was in NFBC leagues. I think I'm in 5 Fab leagues, and Jones is available in 4 of them. So, and I think he's like 10%, 11% owned in 12s, and Jared Jones and 15 teamers in the main event is 32%. So we are going to see massive Fab bids on Jared Jones this week. Obviously, some of that, you know, the extent of massive depends how he looks on Friday, but 24 strikeouts, 6 walks in 18 innings over 5 rehab starts for Jared Jones, 289 ERA, 102 whip, pitched really well, looks really good. I hate to throw this out there in May, but this could be the best pitcher ad of the season, best pitcher ceiling ad for Fab. Probably will be the most expensive though as well.
Yes, he's going to be very expensive, and skill set wise, I'm fully cool with that. I've been a gigantic Jones fan, and the injury last year, I had so many shares of Jared Jones last year.
Same
before that injury went down. I love the skills. You know, you always got to be cautious coming back from Tommy John and just control issues and what are the innings, but who cares? Go like I said earlier with gauge jump, give me like 75 and I'll move on. The one thing, if I want to put any cold water on it, I fully endorse whatever people want to spend on Jared Jones. I'm not going to knock that at all. He gets Houston next week, which is fine. Following week, he gets the Dodgers. Week after that, a two-step in Sacramento in Coors. So he's got quite the run coming up here, but that's not going to stop. Yeah, I start him on probably all of those games, honestly, if he's healthy. But yeah, giddy up. And we got some listener questions we'll get to later on, kind of people asking dollar ranges.
I was going to go there, dollar range. Yeah, we'll wait to listener questions. Yeah, that makes sense.
But he is going to be a massive pickup. On the flip side, trouble in the bullpen now because Carmen Majinski is headed to the bullpen, and he's not happy about it.
Reaching out to his representation.
His parents, his agents, and friends. Those are the representations he mentioned.
Not exactly sure. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's not like he's pitched well, but he's not like legendary. Yeah, he pitched well.
Yeah, like, I hate to break it to Majinski, who's, again, pitched well. Jared Jones is a lot better than you. Like, I think in the back of his mind, the quiet part he didn't say out loud is Bubba Chandler should go to the bullpen. Yeah. I think that's where Majinski was probably like, hey.
And I think that's the only viable alternative is they would move Bubba down. But I also see why that.
Majinski was great out of the bullpen last year. Like, Majinski was really good out of the bullpen last year. So he
moved to the bullpen.
yeah, Majeski was really good out of the bullpen, so there should be no issues with that. And we'll see where that goes, but yes, Jared Jones is your big, big move for the week. St. Louis Cardinals, they have six games this week, three versus Texas, three versus Cincinnati, two lefties and four righties for the St. Louis Cardinals.
I have nothing on the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're kind of rinse and repeat. And the one thing I'll say, he is still only 15% rostered. Brian Torres hits. He hits, folks. And he's outfield eligible on the NFBC, second base eligible, catcher eligible, and outfield on Fantrax if you're in the right format. But Brian Torres is a guy I would make sure is rostered in a lot of places. I think he's very good.
And then we do have Lars Nootbaar starting a rehab, I believe.
Yeah, he's been on rehab.
Okay. Maybe moved up. I saw some news.
He moved up to AAA.
Okay, that's what I saw then. So yeah. If he moved it up to AAA, Lars Nootbaar is not that far off. I don't know. The only thing is that it might eat into some playing time, maybe for Torres.
Get rid of Victor Scott.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's the answer. Now, will teams do that? We shall see. But that's the move you make if you're anywhere associated with this. You move on from Victor Scott. That's the move. But that's all I got for the Cardinals. Pitching is pretty much what it is to me.
Same.
Arizona Diamondbacks have seven games this week, all at home, four versus the Dodgers, three versus the Nationals. That's a tough week for Diamondbacks pitchers. Three lefties and four righties for the D-backs.
Yeah, I don't have really anything in terms of immediate ads for this week, though. I did read in a Thursday News and Notes column, Bubba, that Jordan Lawler is this could be stash time for Jordan Lawler, good week to get in somewhat cheap on Jordan Lawler, who I assume was widely dropped when he got hurt.
Yeah, Lawler is hitting and should start a rehab assignment hopefully next week, maybe the week after. He's only 11% rostered in 12s right now. So, yeah, you can get a cheap Jordan Lawler right now if you can play the stash game. That's not a bad stat. He was swinging it so well before that injury. That's the shame of it all.
I know.
But I do like that a bit. Any thoughts on Tommy Troy? Dude's walking 14%, striking out 7% of the time in his first 14 plate appearances while hitting .417. He has a hit in every game so far. Are you going to give me the who? Give me the who.
I have no thoughts on Tommy Troy.
Yeah, prospect got called up. He got called up on Sunday last week, so in the NFBC he was not available with the other rookie outfielders. He might not be long for the spot, but for a weekly stream, Tommy Troy could be in play for you.
Two first names, though. You gotta ding him a little bit.
Yeah,
no offense out there to anyone, but
sure, no offense taken. Anything else with the D-backs?
I think we can end it on Tommy Troy.
There you go. Colorado Rockies, they have six games this week, three at the Angels, three at home versus Milwaukee, one lefty and five righties for the Rockies.
Yeah, so five righties with the three at home against Milwaukee. The one is against Mizorowski, and then Kyle Harrison. Like, That's a tough homestand. Chad Patrick may cure some ills there on Sunday, but I don't know. It's not a great week for Rockies. It's not a good year for Rockies, decade for Rockies. They did call up this dude Sterling Thompson.
Yeah, no.
Okay. All right.
Well, you if you want, you can give your case. My only argument is they've called him up like three different times this year.
Yeah. All right. No, I won't. I'll shut up.
No. Endorse him. Endorse him, please. It'll give me more reason.
I mean, he's crushing AAA, probably going to play. I think play. It's hard. It's always so hard to tell what the Rockies are going to do. They're hitting .341 in AAA this year. Good K rate. Eight steals. Like, he runs some power. I don't know. I was interested just kind of scouting the stat line, but now you have me
in a 15 if you want to play it. But then you also mentioned it yourself. The Mizorowski Harrison combo doesn't.
I know it is. It's tough.
And then Rocky's pitching. I got nothing. I will say Sensatella's been very good. He's like Aaron Ashby light with save upside. But if you want to play that game, it's up to you.
I don't.
Yeah, most people wouldn't. The Los Angeles Dodgers have seven games this week, four at Arizona, three at home versus the Angels, two lefties and five righties for a Dodgers team. We already mentioned Teoscar's gone. Kiki Hernandez is probably done for the season. That's what they made it feel like. It's a messy situation in LA.
It's messy. I'm assuming some combination of, or maybe a platoon with Hee Sung Kim, and Alex Call. But that's brutal. I wish Dalton Rushing could play outfield. That would be nice. Maybe we'll get some Ryan Ward in there. But I let's see what happens. Weekend lineups for Teoscar. But that's about it.
Anything on the pitching side?
Oh,
Eric Lauer. Oh.
Eric Lauer. Yeah, Eric Lauer did pitch well and went. He went five or six, right?
Yeah, he went like six, and gets the D-backs this next week. So
gets the D-backs, which that's kind of a tough one. But then the next two are at Pittsburgh and then hosting the Rays. So yeah, that's a decent stretch for Eric Lauer.
Yep. So he's only 5% rostered in 12s. So I'd fix that if I was some people out there.
Okay.
San Diego Padres, they have 6 games, 3 at Philadelphia, 3 at home versus the Mets. Is this our usual San Diego problem?
It's our usual San Diego problem. I'm going to experiment with something, Bubba.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that Fernando Tatis is absolute garbage.
His internet cuts out as he's trying to bomb Tatis.
Did it cut out during my Tatis?
Yes, so good. You can't even get your proper dig in on him. It reverse jinxed you.
It did. So I entered a contest, the Guilds, who you had a great episode, by the way, earlier this week on Bench with Bubba. The Guilds is giving out a free draft and hold entry next year for anyone who can guess the date and inning closest for Fernando Tatis' first home run of the season. I guess tomorrow, and my plan was to bag him on the show tonight. So to induce that home run, 7th inning home run for Fernando Tatis. And now that I've said that, there is zero chance it's going to happen. And the fact that my internet cut out while I was trying to do this just buries me even more.
That was like the most perfect timing ever. You're trying to do your whole jinx and it totally just went
freaking cut out.
God yeah. Damn. It's funny that like Tatis is a full-on second baseman now and he still doesn't have a home run. Like, it's unbelievable. We are almost in June and he does not have a home run. It's nuts.
Unreal.
Other than that, do you have anything when it comes to the Padres?
No, I tried, man. I tried.
That was awesome. I knew you were going and I'm like, here we go.
I let off with Fernando Tatis is garbage.
Yeah, you said I'm gonna try some new Fernando and I'm gone. I was like, yep, perfect. All right. Last but not least, the San Francisco Giants. They have 7 games this week, 4 in Milwaukee, 3 at Wrigley, 1 lefty, 6 righties. Get your Bryce Eldridge on, everybody. If you're not there yet, he's even starting versus lefties right now. He's 31% rostered in 12s. The overall stat line doesn't like look great, but watching his at-bats, he's hitting the crap out of the baseball. Everyday at-bats are really helping him develop. I picked him up in most places I could get him last week. Love the matchups this week. Like, obviously, Harrison's, like, that's the first lefty. Then it's Patrick, Crow, Sproat, Hunter Brown, maybe Eury Cabrera, Taillon. Like, that's a lot of really good matchups for Bryce Eldridge. It's a big week, I think, and I we're really going to see what this kid's made out of. So I would get as much Bryce Eldridge in your life as you can this week.
I like it, and I did last week because of you, so. Because he gets the Rockies. He's on the road at the Rockies. He's in Coors this weekend. So we roll with that and hope for the best from there. I like it, though.
Other than that, I have nothing worth any like to give you at all. It's bad.
It's really bad. This team is
brutal. It's good. Like Casey Schmidt hits. Devers is hitting better. Adames is hitting better. Other than that, there's nothing to get excited about in San Francisco. Any final thoughts on the 30-team schedules before we do a little two-step action?
No, I mean, Jared Jones is the headliner. A couple other decent starting pitcher ads. Like, this feels like a pretty good starting pitcher week, at least based on my recollection. And then, oh, there's always good streaming hitters out there. I'm going to just draft all pitchers next year, man.
It's a lot of good streaming outfielders. Once again, a theme we talk about every Thursday on this show. Like last year, there's like I just looked at my list I made, and over half of the hitters I've written down are outfielders. So, yeah, we're back. All right, two-step time. Arizona Diamondbacks, Erod versus the Dodgers versus the Nationals.
Oh, God.
He's been good.
He's been good, but no, I think that's potentially a killer.
Yeah, and 15s, I think you have to. And 12s, I try to look elsewhere.
I mean, I don't even know in 15s, but you might have to.
Now, this pitcher I'll do in 12s and 15s, though, Soroka versus the Dodgers versus Washington.
Yeah, yes.
I would do that for sure.
I would do it.
All right, Gage jump at Wrigley at Houston. That's a yes.
Yes, and if you pick them up, you're starting them anyway. So
agreed. Bryce Elder versus Toronto versus Pittsburgh's a yes.
Yeah, that's a yes.
Shane Boz, after two great starts, it's at Boston, at Toronto. Everyone's going to buy back in. We know how this story goes, everybody.
Yeah, ever since the Bloomfield jinx on the cover boy of the Speculator. I would do Shane Boz. I guess the Padres after that, too. So three good starts in a row.
Yeah, it's and then at Seattle. Like, he's got a – I know that's Brad. Yeah, it is at Seattle. He's got
a – And then at Seattle.
And then at the Angels after that. Good God, he's got a great month coming up.
Yep.
Boston, Connolly early. That's a yes. Jameson Taillon versus the A's versus the Giants. Both in Wrigley.
I would check the wind. It's my punt.
Yeah. Taillon's so bad. Like, so bad.
I mean, he's got a 12% K to walk. It's not horrible. In 15s, I could see it for the Giants start.
Maybe in 15s. Chase Burns is yes. Joey Cantillo at the Yankees at Texas.
God, that's tough. That Yankee start could be atrocious. The Texas
start saves it all.
The Texas start could save it all. They have a 77 WRC plus against lefties this year. That is straight awful. So I'd throw Cantillo in 15s. I don't know about 12s.
I'll throw him in 12s, just hoping that they pull the ball to the far side. And
yeah, that's true. That's true.
In the Yankee Stadium. Kyle Freeland, no. Mr. Sandlin at Minnesota at Philly. If you pick him up, you're starting him, right?
You are. That's a good two-step.
Yep. For now, Casey Mize is written down if he pitches at Tampa versus Seattle.
He will not. But yeah, if he was pitching, then yes.
Like I said, though, we played catch on Thursday, so who knows? But I'd be shocked if he pitches.
You don't need a groin to play catch.
It feels like the Dylan Cease thing. They take it precautionary and put him on the IL. I don't even know who this is. Louis Avila, I guess, for the Royals at Great American at Minnesota. No. Noah Cameron at Great American at Minnesota.
I would throw it.
15, yes.
Yeah.
Jose Soriano versus the Road Rockies at the Dodgers.
Do it, but what a what a white knuckler next weekend.
Yep. Emmett Sheehan at Arizona versus the Angels. Sheehan has not been good, but it's a nice schedule.
Yeah, and on the season, Sheehan's skills are really good. So, yes, I think no doubt. Okay.
Oh, here's a good one for you. Sandy Alcantara at the Nationals versus Tampa Bay.
That is a good one.
That's not as automatic as people think.
Not auto in a 12. In a 15, you're doing it, but
in a 12, I would not do that one. I would not do that in a 12 at all. Kyle Harrison, yes. Chad Patrick versus the Giants at Coors Field.
Chad Patrick, Jesus. I could do it. Yeah, I could do it.
You have to.
And Colorado's so bad, and the Giants are, horrible. You do it.
David Peterson will not be in the rotation. Cam Schlittler, yes. Aaron Nola versus the Padres versus the White Sox. this is when Tatis gets his first homer.
I think Kurland, we give him a bunch of crap. He's a smart dude. He picked the Nola game.
That's a smart game to pick, I think.
For his Tatis homer. It's a lot smarter than my strategy.
Yeah.
I
would not
start Aaron Nola that way. No. I probably would in 15s, but I'm in pain right now.
Yeah. Bubba Chandler at Houston, at Atlanta.
No. Not a chance.
Randy Vasquez at Philadelphia versus the Mets. He has not been great lately, folks.
He has not been great, but that's a good two-step. I would throw that. Definitely
Mets 15s. The Mets is, yeah, the 15s, 12s. I don't even know if he's a full-time starter in 12s. Emerson Hancock versus the Mets at Detroit. I'd say yes with Emerson Hancock versus the Mets at Detroit.
Hancock, yes. For sure. Yep.
All right. Landon Roop at Milwaukee at the Cubs.
Tough two-step, but Landon Roop's been really good.
Yep, he's one of the bright spots. You got to go with that. McGreevy versus Texas versus Cincinnati.
I'm waiting for him to just get destroyed. Like, the skills are nowhere near the results. But we just talked about how Texas is really bad. At home, Cincinnati, that's a good start. So you hope the regression monster, as they say, stays away for this week. I think you throw it in 15s.
Yeah, 15s you do. Griffin Jacks versus Detroit at Miami. I'm starting that.
Yeah, assuming he's okay.
Yes. Here's a good one for you. Jacob DeGrom at St. Louis versus Cleveland.
I mean, why? I mean, of course, right? Am I missing something?
Jacob DeGrom's been not great the last like 3 or 4 starts. There's like might be an injury looming with Jacob DeGrom.
Really? I did not pick up on that.
You start him. You start. He's giving up a lot of home runs right now. Toronto, Kevin Gausman's a yes. And then Washington, Cade Cavalli. It's the first week in a while we could talk about a pitcher that's worth a damn in Washington. Cavalli versus Miami at Arizona. That's a yeah.
Well, that's a definite.
Yeah, it's the first time. Usually it's always a laugh one we put there. All right. Got a couple listener questions here from the old Discord. Let me navigate the minefield here.
Real quick, DeGrom. I'm not worried about DeGrom at all. Just looking at his last 31 days. 19% swinging strike, 21% K to walk. Homer's an issue, but he'll be fine.
All righty. B. Welch, he has two questions here. Do you think Jared Jones will be the best available pitcher to hit waiver wires rest of season? Leagues where he wasn't drafted? If not, who are a few names you think may be better?
I mean, I always like say yes, and then someone always comes up in a couple weeks, and then I say the same thing again. But I do think Jared Jones is the best available pitcher for rest of season.
Yeah, there's some other prospects that might come up at some point in time. But, yeah, I think Jared Jones is pretty, pretty, pretty good right now. If you need help with pitching, what percentage of your remaining fab would you be willing to spend on him?
That's the question. Yeah,
I'd be in the...
So the to give some context here, the average team per our fab tracker has basically $460 left across both main event and 12 teamers.
I would foresee that some teams will be in the 250 to 300 range on him.
It's kind of what I was thinking, half your remaining budget, which would be like 230.
Yeah, 50% seems more than fair. That's always hard for me to do, so I probably won't be there. I'll probably be in the 150 to 200 range, though. I'm not joking. I probably will be there. In an OC, unload the clip. Like, if you have 450 in an OC, go get 300. I don't care. Because 150, you can play that game the rest of the year.
Because
I have so many non-runner-up bids in OCs right now already. It is a joke.
It's not as competitive late in the season, so you don't have to spend as much later on.
If you are a Jared Jones believer, unload the clip in an OC.
And a lot, so much depends too. I mean, look at your rotation. What do you, how strong do you think you are in pitching? That's obvious, but that's why it's always so hard to answer these types of questions. But, I'll need to look at my teams. I will certainly be in on the bidding, and probably similar to you, I will probably be in the high 100s, which both things can be true. That's a lot for me, and it probably won't be enough to get them.
Agreed. But I'm hoping I can sneak them through in a few, because I really think that skills, and there are a few leagues where I need pitching a lot. I'll probably go higher. So we'll see how that pans out. Because this is kind of the last hurrah is the way I look at it in that sense. At SMMS79 says, which Detroit relief pitcher are we specking on with Kinley sidelined? Finnegan, if anybody, but probably nothing.
Finnegan with very low confidence. SMMS also says, please note, which you did not follow those instructions, Bubba, when you pronounce
it. Well, because it's after the question.
The 7 and the 9 are silent. So
how's that?
Mispronunciation there on that one.
Oh, I get it now. Never mind. That's funny. B. Welch, who hits more home runs rest of the season, Eldridge or Tatis? Eldridge.
I'll say
Eldridge. It should be Tatis. I'm going Eldridge, though. I just think his approach looks so much better right now.
Yeah.
It's sad to say, but yes. Canton Dog says, what are your hitter-pitcher ratio for a seven-player bench, four hitters and three pitchers, et cetera? Of course, I had to get a question in. Yeah, I got to get the name said. I'll let you have the floor in a second. I will say, Dog, listen to the Guild show. We talk about every team's different this time of year. There's like sixes, yep. Six to ones, five to twos, four. It a lot depends on what your team's doing.
And where are your injured guys? I would say don't. So yeah, like in general, in an ideal world, I'd love to have like four bats with backups at every position and three pitchers, maybe, you know, two starters and a reliever stash or something. We don't live in perfect worlds. So don't be afraid to be completely flexible. I know, Bubba, you talked about on the show with Gills. It's like you've had times when you've had five pitcher reserves just because your pitching isn't strong and you just want as many different streaming options as possible in a given week. And that makes a ton of sense. Like, yeah, the downside of that is you might leave yourself open on the hitting side a little bit, but don't be afraid to kind of veer from the norm with that based on what your team needs, how many multi-position eligible guys you have. Like that can give you some wiggle room as well.
Yep. A lot of flexibility. There's no set in stone system right now. That's for sure. Our buddy Dom Rello, have one team with an actual fair amount of fab remaining at this point. I'm forcing myself to put an unspecified $300 to $400 amount aside and making that my Cade Anderson budget. Is there anybody else that could potentially be entering the fab pool you could possibly see yourselves doing this for? Pitching side of things, no. If after Jones, Cade Anderson would probably be the dude, Ryan. Is there anybody else?
Not that I mean, and no, not that I think of. And I would rather, I mean, Dom knows his stuff. But I'd rather spend it now on Jared Jones if he's available than wait on Anderson. Cause I don't know. I mean, Cade Anderson, pretty much two starters need to be out for Cade Anderson to get the.
Yeah. Cade Anderson's going to need Castillo
last year. So
yeah, you're gonna need a few guys to get out of the way. And like, he didn't specify hitters or pitchers. Like Max Clark will probably get a lot of love, but I'd still rather have Jared Jones or Cade Anderson, most likely. Like most of the hitters are up, in my opinion, too. So yeah,
Leo DeVries could be it could be crazy for a 19-year-old to be up, but
yeah,
I could see the A's doing that. But again, that's a hitter, so I don't know. I think Jones is the one. I have Anderson quite a bit lower than Jones, just because I don't know when it's going to come, and I don't know how long they're going to throw Cade Anderson in the second half.
Yeah, because by the time he gets his chance, how much does he have left is the question. Right. So, yes, agree with you there. Full agree. Well, all right. That'll do it, my friend. We'll wrap it up week 11 in the books. Any final thoughts as we keep marching through this season? It's flying by right now.
Flying by. Again, apologies for the tech issues. Bubba, pros pro, filling in the gaps when he can tell that my thing is frozen. So, hopefully the listen wasn't too bad for you all. But, good luck in Fab. Jared Jones prices are going to be fun. I really hope he shoves Friday night just to up the drama a little bit too.
Well, the beautiful thing is if you're a Gage, Jump, or Sandlin believer, you might get to sneak him by a little bit because of the Jones situation. They're not going to go cheap, but I mean, like, you're going to get if Jones wasn't getting the call, those guys would be going for a lot more, is where I'm going with this. So yeah, you're going to get some love in that regard if you want to sneak through, and plenty of cheap hitting to go through it. So if you have any questions, we'll be in the Discord this week, and Ryan will have his HQ column. I'll have the Discord Fab column as well. Yep. We'll keep you guys covered with what's going on around baseball. But until then, follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 351. Catch you all next time.